pull the forbidden fruit, saying that eating it would give her total knowledge and she would become like God. He then convinced Eve to share the fruit with Adam.
They represent all of humanity, and when they choose their own will over the will of God, they choose to do their own thing rather than God's thing, then the whole human race tends toward that evil.
As punishment, Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, were forever banished from paradise. The devil had struck his first blow against man. It was sweet revenge. As man's presence on earth blossomed, so did Satan's quest to corrupt him and turn him against God. Satan began fighting countless battles with God in an effort to capture human souls. And though God fought back, he left much of the struggle to man.
From the beginning of time, man and God have battled the evil one. One of the earliest biblical examples of the devil standing up to God and testing human faith is found in the book of Job.
He is always distrustful of human motives, and this is what sets in motion the book of Job. God thinks that Job is behaving just wonderfully. The Satan doesn't buy it and says, "Of course he's being good. You've given him everything. Let's take some things away and see what happens." This finally is the full-blown Satan as the accuser and the one who works evil against good people.
The book of Job recognizes that there are other forces, other powers that somehow are under God's control, but God is not the cause of evil, even though he's master of the universe. So you have God who's in control of everything, yet not the cause of evil. Satan, who's the tempter, who causes that evil to happen.
In Scripture, God boasts to Satan of his faithful servant Job's righteousness. Satan counters by charging that Job reveres God only because wealth and prosperity have been bestowed upon him.
In the book of Job, Satan is a member of the heavenly court who tests human beings.
Satan challenges God by stating that if afflicted, Job will denounce the Almighty.
But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. Job chapter 1, verse 11.
Satan is saying his man is only good because he expects a reward. And God says, no, that isn't true. So the devil says, well, let's put them to the test.
Satan makes a wager with God. Now, this is profoundly diabolical. I mean, what could be more futile than betting against God? What are your chances of winning? Zero. So why would anyone take such a bet? Only to do evil for evil's sake.
God permits Satan to visit Job with a series of shattering catastrophes. The only restriction is that he not physically harm Job. In one day, Job loses all his material possessions. Satan also robs Job of his family.
Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. Job chapter 1, verses 18 and 19.
Though Job is deeply grieved, he does not curse God. But Satan does not back down. He claims Job will falter if he can inflict harsher treatment. God agrees to the test, with the exception that Job's life be spared. Satan smites Job with boils from head to toe. Finally, Job assails God for his misfortunes.
I will say to God, does it please you to oppress me, to spurn the work of your hands, while you smile on the schemes of the wicked? Job chapter 10, verses 2 and 3.
In the end, Job repents and pledges full allegiance to God.
Satan goes down to the earth and removes these good things from Job, takes away his family, takes away his property, takes away his health, and still Job does not blaspheme.
Man has stayed true to the Almighty, but Satan has exposed a fissure that he will forever seek to exploit.
There are many lessons to be learned from the book of Job, and one of the lessons is that Satan cannot touch my life except he has God's permission. So when bad things come into my life, and perhaps Satan has orchestrated some of them, then I know that my Heavenly Father has shielded me and protected me, and if he lifts his hand of protection and allows Satan to attack, it's going to be for my own good, and there's a better ultimate purpose.
Satan had failed in his assault upon the faithful Job. But he was undeterred in his crusade of evil. He inflicted death and destruction on man as often as he could. For centuries, great religions have preached of sin and punishment, of Satan.
The devil is the arch enemy of the human race.
And hell.
It's a mist of darkness. Weeping and wailing. It's a place you do not want to go.
Stories of an evil Satan and hell's torment are handed down in Scripture.
Jesus spoke far more about hell than he did about heaven.
Where was the devil in the Garden of Eden? And of course, the serpent.
Death, the great equalizer. People across the globe and throughout time have believed that life endures beyond the grave. Modern religions offer differing concepts of an afterlife. But most are linked by two beliefs. A life lived in accordance with God leads to a positive afterlife, a heaven. A life lived in league with the devil leads to something negative, a hell.
Reward and punishment in an afterlife is axiomatic to a belief in a good God. If you believe that God is good, then by definition you believe that there is reward and punishment after this life.
But just how will evil be punished?
The Bible indicates that the hell is a place because it's a place where God sends the devil and his angels, and it's a place where Jesus said that those who reject him by faith will one day live.
Most Christian faiths hold that a mighty force both draws us towards evil and watches over hell. This power, this persona, is most often identified as the devil.
There's something that grasps human freedom and radically corrupts people's ability to choose good. And we call that the devil. We call that the evil one.
Over the past 2,000 years, the devil has been depicted as God's great adversary, the one who can lead us to eternal damnation.
God is trying to tell us this is what the story of man is all about. Is the devil is coming to test us and tempt us and try to get us to curse God.
God wants people to follow him by choice. He doesn't want robots. He wants us to choose to place our faith in him, to choose to live in obedience to him. And perhaps the devil gives that opportunity for us to make those very hard choices.
Eventually, the disciples of Christ, the apostle of love, would also help define the hell of eternal damnation. For many people, their concept of hell is based on one book.
The Bible says that hell is a place where people who reject his gracious offer of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ will spend eternity. It's a place of eternal separation from God.
The Bible makes reference to hell.